We started a new series last week we called Pioneer Christmas, and we recognize that pioneers, they forge out from a place, they go from a place out into some new land. In fact, pioneers are those who are defined as the first to go out into a new place, the first to make their way into a new land or settle a new country or a new area. And we want to look at some of the pioneers of Scripture, and probably the best that connect to the Christmas story we saw last week, the very first pioneers in Scripture, Adam and Eve, they could forge out into the cursed world, but only because they had a promise of hope, because they had the promise that there was coming a Savior there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. They could put their trust in a bigger promise, something bigger than the curse they would face, and something bigger than the scary idea of going into the world alone. Because we have the promise of Jesus Christ, because we have his hope, we can face a sin-filled world. And so we look this morning, I want to turn our attention to Genesis chapter 12. As you, some of you are still turning there as you consider the Christmas season. I love Christmas music. That's probably one of my favorite parts is the Christmas music. I love this event here with the kids. I look forward to this event in the as the year develops. I look forward to coming here and listening to our kiddos sing. And next week we're going to have the adults come and sing, and probably less stomping in that production, and maybe less stomach showing too. But that's not a promise. I'm guessing that that's going to be the case. The reality is that I love music. I really do. I love the Christmas music. How many of y'all have been playing Christmas music since August? Anyone in here? No? Okay, am I the only weirdo in here? Okay, I got a couple of you. That's good. I tell you, I love the Christmas music. One of my favorites as a kid was Joy to the World. I loved that song, Joy to the World. It was simple enough, and I understood how the songs, you know, kind of played out, and I would sing it and enjoy it. It would come on the radio, and I'd hear that song, and I learned it in Sunday school. I had a Sunday school teacher who taught it to me, and I just loved that song. Isaac Watts wrote that song actually by accident. He wrote the song as more of a poem. It was written to be a poem, and his desire was to write each and every one of the Psalms as a poem. And as he wrote those Psalms out, they were all to accentuate Jesus Christ. And so as Isaac Watts wrote them, he wrote them from the Psalms, but he would point out where he found Jesus in each and every one of the passages. And so as you kind of consider that, when he wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing." All of a sudden you see Jesus. You can begin to highlight. And of course, this psalm was Psalm 98. And one of the beauties of this hymn, or of this song, of Christmas song, the beauty of it is the scope and the size of this involvement. In fact, it kind of makes us think of Luke chapter 2. You think of Luke chapter 2, the night that Jesus was born, there was a bunch of shepherds down in a field, and the Bible says they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And the Bible says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Notice this, "which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest." And notice this, "and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This promise, or this declaration of the angels, makes me think of the second of the pioneers. The pioneers of Christmas, that second one has to be Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, where you have your Bible this morning, if you'd look with me in the first verse, we find God speaking to Abraham, and he says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of the country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee, notice what Scripture says, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can I tell you, my family has been blessed because Abraham obeyed God. My family's been blessed because when God called Abram out of his comfort zone in the land of Ur, Abram listened. And we have today the blessing of Jesus Christ because of this promise right here. And a man who is willing to pioneer, go that second mile and merge out into an unknown place and do exactly as God called him. The Bible says in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. Can I tell you, no one in here is too old to obey God. Not one of you are too old to serve the Lord. You say, oh, I don't know if I can serve God. Abram was 75. All right. Abram decided to obey God at 75 years old. The Bible says, and departed out of Haran. God called Abram out of his comfort zone. The Ur of the Chaldees at that point would have been the climax of human civilization. There would have been a wealth of people around him, probably wealth around him as well. He would have had much land, much cattle, and there was much for his father Haran there in that part of the crescent. And here we find God come to Abram and call Abram to do something that is completely unknown and unheard of in this time. And that is to leave his father and mother, to walk away from everything that his father has built, everything that he has constructed here in this time. He is asking him to turn his back on everything he's known and everything he's loved, and to forge out into a world where number one, nobody owes him anything. And number two, he doesn't have anything out here. He's going to take some wealth with him as he goes, but Abram's not going to go into a polite country. Abram's not going to go into a place where his cattle will be treated right, or his sheep will be treated a certain way, or even his servants will be treated a certain way. In fact, one step after another, Abram runs into one problem after another problem after another. There's going to be people that fight with his herds. There's going to be wells that get stopped up. And all of that is happening because Abram was willing to leave the comfort of the Ur so that he could obey the voice of God. In his obedience, there is something powerful given. Can I tell you today that when Jesus was born, there were people who were watching. They were expecting Jesus to be born. They were looking forward to Jesus being born. There were those who were expecting him, and the Bible refers to them as the faithful. They were the people that were filled with faith based on what God had said. God had told them Jesus was coming, and therefore they knew that they could put trust and faith in what God had promised them. They were looking forward to his joy. The faithful were those who were filled with joy, the joy of his presence, the joy of his inheritance, the joy of an expanding kingdom. And make no mistake about it, that's what this promise to Abram was all about, was about the promise of God expanding his kingdom through this man named Abram. Jesus was the expansion for the kingdom. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus came, and the Bible tells us he came not only that he could give life, but that he could give life more abundantly, the Bible says. He said, in other words, the life you think you had when you followed the law, you're going to have greater because you followed me. And Jesus was promising to expand the kingdom. Can I tell you, many that night weren't waiting on Jesus. Many of them were not looking for Jesus to come. Most of them missed the expanding of the kingdom of heaven. I want you to look and consider this today, the scope and the size of the kingdom of God. You see, what Abram was promised here, he was promised that because of his obedience, God was going to give him a seed. God was going to give him children, and that God was going to give his children children, and he was going to give his children's children children, and then children's 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 children. And God was going to multiply Abram's heritage. Beyond that, he said, not only am I going to bless you and your family, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, why? How is that going to happen? Well, you see, Abram would have children and then children and then children and children and children and children. We go out several generations, 16. We go out generations and we find there's the birth of Jesus. Jesus being born, that brought salvation to the world. You and I today, as Gentiles, I am not by birth a child of Abram. I'm not a Jew by birth. But I have the blessing that God promised he would give to the world because of Abram. You see, Jesus, because of his father's Abram's obedience, Jesus was born to this earth. And you and I have access to God the Father as our Father because of Jesus' obedience. You and I today have access to it. In fact, Romans chapter 4, verse number 12 says, the promise of Abraham expanded to any that would trust Christ. In Romans 4, 12, he says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, that's us who are Gentiles, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Can I tell you that you and I, by faith, are the children of Abraham? You and I have access to the very blessing that God gave to Abraham. You and I have access to that. You and I are the Gentiles added in beyond time or after time, as Paul said. And you and I are injected in, we're grafted into the promise that God gave to Abraham right here. And it was the birth of Jesus that caused the entire thing to go. The Bible tells us this was, by the way, I wonder how this would have blown the mind of Abram if he could have looked into the future and seen the birth of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that it must be connected because in Galatians 3:7, he says in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. When the Bible says the heathen, he's talking about those who are not Jews by blood. He says, seeing that he would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abram might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you know what he's saying there in that passage? He is saying, you don't have to be born a child of Abraham to have the blessing of Abraham. You know what? In this room today, there are those who, maybe you're a Jew here today. You say, I can go back. I know I'm of Jewish heritage. It's in my lineage. I have that. That's one. Can I tell you? Abram brought us a blessing. He brought us the blessing of Jesus Christ. You and I today have only to do what Abraham did, and that is put our faith in Jesus Christ. You'd say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough to get saved. Can I tell you, the Bible says that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Not just those who are born a certain way or born in a certain money amount, socioeconomic bracket. Not just those who look the part. Not just those who go to church on Sunday. He's saying that anyone that would act in faith, that would put their faith in Jesus Christ, become a part of the blessing. And I tell you, what is so beautiful about the pioneer of Abram is that through obedience, God took that hope that Adam and Eve needed and he expanded it to the world. You and I have access to Jesus Christ today, not because of where we were born or who we were born to, not because of all the good things we do or do not do. We have access to Jesus Christ by the one declaration, the just live by faith. And today, I don't care what your background is, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can have his salvation. You can have his blessing. You can have the promise of eternal life. You can have that life more abundant. And I stand before you today to remind you that the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ started way back with Abram when he pioneered out into unknown territory. You and I, we are going to face a day tomorrow that is uncertain. We're going to face times tomorrow that are uncertain. We live in a crazy political time. We live in a crazy economic time. We live in a crazy crime-filled time. Can I tell you, you can forge in tomorrow as a pioneer with the simple trust in Jesus Christ that no matter what tomorrow holds, my eternity is secure. I invite you this morning, if you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're not certain beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is your Savior, can I tell you that today, right here on this Sunday, after hearing all of this beautiful music and the wonderful production, you could put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and know Him as your personal Savior.